Let's do this, let's do this, let's do this. I want to have those kind of experiences. Anywhere I want to go, just one step, and I'm there. Hallelujah. You say, is that possible? Absolutely. He wants to partner with us. He wants to partner with you. And where he is, there you will be also. Hallelujah.
May God carry you and your family, and every issue, you know, is too small. Every issue you face is too small for God not to carry. If he can carry a whole nation with one swoop out, he can carry.
Hallelujah. Good morning, Glory and Peace Church. Good to see everyone this morning. Welcome to those who are new. You are welcome here. Hallelujah. Welcome to those online. Let's just stand up. Let's just lift up our voices and thank God for his goodness. Hallelujah. God, you are great. God, you are faithful. Father, I worship your name. Father, I worship your name. Father, I'm grateful. Just tell him what you are thankful for. Tell him what you are thankful for. Hallelujah. We praise you. Worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 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 He is great. He is mighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We worship your name. Hallelujah. Here we go. Hallelujah.
For the Lord God Almighty reigns.
Lord, we worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, King of kings, Lord of lords. We come to you. We praise your name, Father. We worship you. Hallelujah. Sing hallelujah.
Sing with me, how great trust in you, oh Lord Jehovah. You, I trust in you. I believe you.
Oh, I trust.
Happy earth. happier. Kolesi, kolesi. Somebody join me, say happier. Kosiyo.
Happier. Osiyo.
You are the unquestionable God. Happier. Kosiyo. Your voice and say, He's the God of heaven and the earth.
God of heaven and the earth.
Caviar, 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 caviar,
caviar,
caviar, caviar, caviar, caviar, caviar, caviar, caviar, caviar, question you, Kabia Kosio,
Kabia.
Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. I'm going to do something different this morning. We're going to continue with the Kabiosi song. But after I read the scripture, I don't know how tired your legs are going to be. You okay? Praise the Lord. God day, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord forevermore. Hallelujah. You know, there was a strong anointing on that song, and I pray it will continue in a moment. So what I'm going to do, I'll pray for children. But children, you can stay. When the band is leaving, you can leave with them. All right? So I'm going to pray for you now. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful, glorious morning. We thank you that you are the God of the heavens and the earth. There's no limit to your power. It's not that you have power, you are power. It's not that you are going to be, you are the I am that I am. You are the self-existing God. We bless your holy name. Thank you for giving us breath for another day to magnify your holy name. We bless your holy name. This morning, every aspect of this service we commit to you. We welcome your Holy Spirit. We pray for all our children, everyone from age 120 plus to zero. We leave them before you, Almighty God, those in seed form, those walking the earth, that your hand will be heavy upon every one of them. We pray healing over them. Those that are sick, that are recovering, we speak divine health over them. Be healed, be restored, be made whole. To the state God intends you to live in the mighty name of Jesus. Those battling issues behind the scene that are secrets, Lord, the God who answers in secret, we answer and save and deliver all your children. In the mighty name of Jesus, we lift biological, spiritual children, partners, extended families, all over the world. The Lord reign over every one of you. We declare the lordship of Jesus over every one of you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Say a big amen. 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 Okay, God bless you, children. Just go back to your seat for a moment. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Spirit of the living God, you're already here. We welcome you into the service. We receive your wonderful anointing. We receive you into our heart, our spirit, soul, and body. Spirit of wisdom, spirit of knowledge, spirit of understanding, spirit of counsel, spirit of might, spirit of the fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word. We receive you into our hearts in Jesus' name and in this service. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So congregation, you can be seated and our band will be here. I'm going to try to quickly read. I won't finish all of it. So our scripture reading this morning is Job 38. I picked a different scripture for us, but the Lord wants me to read this. So I thought it's a little bit long, but I think I've read it to you before. You need to read all of it at home. But this is what he chose early this morning for us. So we're going to read this. I'll read maybe up to 21. I encourage you to read all 40 of them at home. Praise the Lord. Let's read quickly. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Get up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me." You know, when we're going through a lot of difficulties and we don't understand, you've prayed, you fasted, you seek God, you repented of all your sins, You've done everything right, and there is still a question mark of issues. You know, God is addressing all of us who have found ourselves in that situation. Some people have never found themselves there. I don't know what planet you live in, but in this earth realm, you will face issues. And when you are in it, just remember there is a God who made you, and he has never left you, neither forsaken you. Say amen. So God, verse 4. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declared if thou hast understanding. Who can know more than God? No one. Who had laid the measures thereof? If thou knowest, or who had stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? God is questioning, were you there when I was making all these things? Verse 7, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, these are all questions. We ask God questions and God is asking us our own questions. I don't know who can answer him this morning. Just say, God, you know it all. Just say, God, you know it all about my life and about my family. Say big amen. Verse 8, who shut the sea with doors when it break forth as if it had issued out of the womb? You know, did you know that seas have doors? God has his doors. So everything God has made is still exactly the way he made it. I always say God is the best recycler. Everything he has made is recycling all of them. Praise the Lord. He measured it. He measured the earth. He took you out of it. But when you die, you go back to that same measure back. Praise the Lord. Earth to earth, dust to dust. He measured everything. Nothing has changed. Somebody say praise the Lord. It may look like things are all changing and it's in a disastrous state. No, they are all going back to their rightful place. Say praise the Lord. When the rain fall and the snow fall and all the floods and all of that, it looks like everything is destroyed. No, that same measure of water has not changed. The exact measure is still existing exactly the way he made it. Praise the Lord. He put some in your body. When you die, they go back. Praise the Lord. The ones in the rivers that look like they went somewhere, they are going to land somewhere. They evaporate, they go back, they come back. The rain falls, the storm comes. They are all part of the same one system. Nothing has changed. He's measured and calculated everything. If he has done that, he has measured your life. And he has calculated everything about your life. Everything must return back to its rightful place. In the name of Jesus. You have not lost, you have gained. It's anything you are going to is temporary. You must come back to the right order. God has a command over your life and over your family. And that command must come to pass. It has no choice. It shall surely come to pass. Somebody shout hallelujah. You serve a great God. Verse 9. When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The clouds have their place. You have your place. I have my place. We've been set at his table. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm sitting at his table. Yes, you belong to God's table. You are not in the back seat. You are right in the center of God's heartbeat. Somebody say, I'm in the center of God's heartbeat. Where you shall have what you say. So, say amen. And break up for it my decreed place and set bars and doors. Hallelujah. Every door that God has not placed cannot be placed in your life. And said, hitherto shall thou come, but no further. And here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days? Well, this morning, somebody commanded to be morning. Hallelujah. God has spoken to morning. Say, morning, you get up at this time and you do what I tell you to do. And morning has never changed. Somebody say, good morning. Somebody say, God morning. That's why I always say God day. It's a God day. It's been commanded. And this is the day the Lord has made for me and for you to rejoice and be glad in it. They are commanded. Say, commanded morning. Work for me now. Yes, it doesn't work against you. You will not wake up in the morning and hear bad news. You will hear good news. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. By the way, Ariana, it's so good to see you. Bless God. Praise the Lord. Somebody give God one big shout of praise for Ariana. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 12. Has thou commanded the morning since thy days and caused day spring to know his place? Hallelujah. The day spring knows his place. Everything knows their place. Even the devil knows his place. That it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it. So any wicked thing this morning that has been assigned against your life and your family, tell them, shake off! In the name of Jesus. They've been commanded to shake off. They can't stay. Verse 14. It turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. And from the wicked their light is withholding, and the high arm shall be broken. Every high arm shall be broken. Any arm that is stretched against you shall be broken. Any hand that is stretched against your destiny shall be broken. Any hand that is stretched against your family shall be broken. Any hand that is stretched against your health, your finance, anything that disturbs you shall be broken in the name of Jesus. Say big amen. Amen. Has thou entered into the springs of the sea? Has thou walked in the search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Or has thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Death has its own doors. Shadow of death have its own doors. They can be open. If they can be open, they can be shut. So that's why when you are not ready, you can say shut. Dead, dead, shut. Are you here to pray or are you here to look at how cute I look this morning? You shall have what you say. When you say all the things God has commanded to obey, they begin to hear your voice and they obey you. Say, dead shut. They all have doors, so they can shut. Our assignment on earth is 120 plus. Bible says Jesus died that the blessing of Abraham should come upon us. Abraham died at 175 years old. So the blessing, he broke. The mode was 120, God command. But the blessing broke that command. The blessing took you to 175 years old. So you just started. There are only babies in this church right now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The blessing is working. This is the oldest you are going to look. Praise the Lord. It's been paid for. 990 something years the oldest person lived. Even in the state of sin, how much more the glorified church of God. Amen. Somebody say, I receive the blessings of Abraham. Yeah, that's one of the benefits for you to live healthy, full of life, full of age, full of strength, full of sight. Your eyes doesn't go dim, they get sharper. If the ego can see, you can see better than the ego. You are the master of the egos. You are the master of the egos. All things that fly, move, run, swim, they've been put under your command. So you can do better than them. Say, I take my place. I've been commanded to sit at the table. Yes, I sit at the table of the Lord. Say amen. 19, we have three more to do. Did I do 18? 18. Has thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare if thou knowest it all. I told you everything has been measured by the Lord. Hallelujah. The earth has its own width. Nobody can add to it. Volcanoes can come up here and there. They are still part of the measurement. Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? Light has its place. Darkness has its place. So when dark days come, you can tell darkness, go to your place. I don't know whether you are awake this morning. You didn't come to a coffee drinking church this morning. Stand. Say darkness. Stay in your place. Light. Stay in your place. God says you are light. Hallelujah. So only light can stay with you. Anything that dwells in the dark, only the treasures of darkness you want. But anything else, you do not want those. Verse 20. Thou should take it to the bound thereof, and thou should know the paths to the house thereof. Verse 21. Knowest thou it because thou was then born, or because the number of thy days is great? Hallelujah. 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 I just finished with 21 because there's something. Every single verse in Job 38 is all powerful. Has thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or has thou seen the treasures of the hail? All right, let me leave it there. We'll continue. But just know these are a few questions the Lord has asked us this morning. So somebody say, He's able. He is my God and your God. There is nothing difficult for him. He must learn to relax and stay in the place of peace. Say, I will stay in the place of peace. He is in charge of my life and your life. Let me pray with us, and the band will just lead us in that worship song, and Apostle will take it from here. Hallelujah. Father, we have read your holy word. We receive this infallible, incorruptible, proof-producing word into our hearts. Let it begin to guide us now, direct our path, renew our mind towards your standard. Lord, we receive your holy word. We receive the power of your word, that the power of your word is quickened by your Holy Spirit in our lives, and we are functioning in this dimension. We thank you that our day is great. Our future is great. Our lives are great. You are our light and our salvation. You are the glory and the lifter of our head. You are the one who have birthed us. And everything you birth is great. Father, we bless you. Holy God, we magnify your holy name. We thank you for all that you have deposited in our lives. We receive them and we are thankful. We are thankful for all you gave to us. All week you gave us shelter. We did not sleep on the streets. We had homes. We had place to bathe. We had places to eat. We had vehicles to move around. We have breath to breathe. Lord, our hands, our feet, our entire system, they are working. We give you praise, O God. Everything you have commanded to work, they are working in our lives. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Can you say thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your holy name. Thank you for the miracles you've done all week, all year, every moment. They are miracle moments. Lord, we bless your holy name.
Hallelujah.
Even the hair on our heads, they have been counted.
Thank you, Jesus. They have been measured.
Our flesh have been measured. Yes. Our bones, our blood, our sinew, every single part of us,
Praise the Lord. They are counted for.
Father, we bless your holy name.
Hallelujah.
We bless you for blessing us. We bless you for keeping your word. We bless you for your promises are yes and amen. Lord, we thank you for answers to prayers for all your children. Things they've been praying for in the closet, you will answer them speedily. Speedify, that they will come here with a testimony. Look what the Lord has done. In the mighty name of Jesus, we bless you for the worship time. We bless you for the nation of Israel. We bless you for the peace of Jerusalem. We speak peace to her and her palaces. We speak peace to the nations. We speak that the blessing of God will eradicate every problem, that your children are crying in the lands, that they know Jesus. As they call you, you are hearing their cry. Not the cry of the wicked, but the cry of the righteous. They are crying that you revive their nation. You give them godly leaders. You give them godly people. You give them godly people, Lord. Godly nations that serve God, so that the people will rejoice. When the righteous rule, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people are sad. Father, bring forth righteous leaders in the mighty name of Jesus. In the churches, in the governments, in the nations, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the homes, in businesses, in all walks of life. Raise your people, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. We receive the blessing of God upon Canada, Nigeria, United States of America, Yugoslavia, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Denmark, in the mighty name of Jesus, and Syria, in Jesus' mighty name, all the islands of the seas, and every nation that calls upon the name of the Lord, for the sake of one or two people, hear their cry. You are the same God who heard Abraham. For his sake, you were able to save Lot and his family. Save your people, Lord. Save your people. Save your people. Save our family members. Let them not perish, but come into your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare so done. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Heaven and the earth. Osio Cabio, Osio Cabio, Osio Cabio, Osio. Father, we magnify you. We worship you. We bow before you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever. You reign. You reign. You reign. In every realm, you reign. We thank you for your awesome love and your awesome power. Thank you for your peace that passes all understanding. Thank you, Lord, for hearing ears, understanding minds, knowledgeable hearts. Thank you, King of Kings. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for every one of you that have taken time to be in the house of the Lord this day that the Lord God Almighty has made for us to rejoice and be glad. The peace of God garrisons all of our hearts. Thank you, worship team. Hallelujah. Somebody say something good is happening to me right now. Hallelujah. Say it again, something good is happening in my life right now. Hallelujah. I will not be denied. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. This morning, I want to continue with our discuss on the subject that I've captioned, the anatomy of radical faith. The anatomy of radical faith. Obviously, this is an unending series. You cannot empty this well. But there are certain things that are important for us to embrace, itemize, understand, receive, encapsulate, and live by. The Word of God says the just live by faith. Hallelujah. The just live by faith. Hebrews 10 and verse 38. Hebrews 10 and verse 38 declares very clearly these words, Hebrews 10 and verse 38. Now the just live by faith. Those that are justified of God live by faith. And then it says, but if any man draw back, if any man draws back, God says, my soul. Watch that again, Hebrews 10:38. Watch it. If you draw back, it says, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Did God say that we're created in his image and likeness? So God says he's got a soul. Hello? God has a soul? Yes. He says, my soul will not have pleasure in the person who draws back. The Word of God says, without faith, in Hebrews 11, without faith, it is impossible. Some would say, impossible to please God. So faith is very essential. If I cannot please God without faith, I must have faith. Because God's word says, if we live by faith, and if we're not living by faith, which means that we have drawn back. So a definition of living the life of faithlessness is the ability to what? Draw back. Now, watch this. If you have the ability to draw back, it is because you were there with it. You had it. The word of God says that He's given to every one of us a measure of faith. Listen to the word of God in Romans 12. I'll take it from verse 1 through 3 real quickly. We're talking about faith. And saying, basically, at this point, we've got radical faith. God has given it to us. Amen? He says, I beseech you, therefore. I beseech you. I'm pleading with you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Holy and acceptable unto God. Holy and acceptable unto God. My soul will not have pleasure in the soul that draws back. Come with me, come with me. Step by step. So if we are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, it must be that we are bringing pleasure to God by our actions of faith. It says, which is your what? Reasonable service. Oh, my God. The truth of God is exploding within my spirit. I don't know that I can communicate it as explosively as it is inside of me right now, but you're going to get an overflow of it. Amen? Glory be to God. It's a reasonable service. You're going to understand that statement, a reasonable service, in just a moment, because we're going to find out that faith is our servant. It says, and be not conformed. Don't be poured into the mold of this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How is the mind renewed? The mind is renewed by the presence, the application, through meditation on the Word of God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Faith comes by hearing. So when faith comes, faith comes to transform you. Faith comes to change your thinking. You were thinking in a particular way, and faith comes and it changes your perception. Praise God. Faith transforms you. It brings you into a process of change, metamorphosis. Praise God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, that's the start, good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Good, acceptable, perfect. But God starts you from good. Oh, I don't know if you're getting this. It starts you from good, but if it is good, why is it acceptable? God says, good, that's the starting point. We're getting better. Good, better, what? Good, acceptable, perfect. GAP stands for glory and peace. Ha, glory be to God. I just had to put that in there. Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Now, this is important. We talked about this last week, that it's all about mercy. Amen? So when we're talking about faith, we're not talking about arrogance. We're not talking about, I did this, I prayed so long, and I fasted so long, and I quoted this many scriptures, and that's why it changed. No, no, that's not what we're talking about. That's the pathway to pride. Faith says, if it were not for God's grace and God's mercy, I would not have known what things to apply to deal with this particular situation. I thank you for the grace that you granted me, that I knew what to say. I knew how to pray. Lord, you led me. Because the language of faith is not a language of normality or patterns. You see, Jesus never healed two blind people the same way. He didn't say, for every blind man that I see, I'm going to mold some stuff, I'm going to spit on them. No. He did what he saw the Father doing. He said what he heard the Father saying. And the language of faith is a language that calls us to the place where we begin to align ourselves in the realm of the Spirit to see what God is doing in the heavens. Thy will be done in the earth as it is what? In heaven. It says, so we need to think of ourselves in a very soberly fashion, according as God hath dealt to every man. A measure of faith? Is that what it says? A measure of faith? The measure of faith. The measure of faith that you need to turn things around, God has given to you. So, now that I know that I've been given that measure of faith, what must I do with that faith? I must send that faith on an errand. I must send that faith on the assignment that it has already received to accomplish what it is I need to accomplish. One of the verses we dwelt on is found in the Gospel of Matthew, the 15th chapter, where the Bible talks about the woman, the Syrophoenician woman. And I encourage you to listen to the first message last Sunday morning and the continuity, the continued second part of it, Sunday evening last, because you need to get all of that together to be in sync, synchronized with us in what we're talking about. This woman went through so many things, and as she went through it, she stood firm on the directives, the language of faith. She did not allow herself in Mark 5, or rather in Matthew 15, to be pushed away from what she was believing. Not even the Lord Jesus Christ could kick her out. Even when he said to her, healing is a bread for the children. And I'm sorry, lady, you're equivalent to a dog. Because we don't give bread that belongs to the children to the dogs. And the woman says, I worship you, Kabiyosi, I have a question. What's your question, lady? The crumbs that fall off the table, don't the dogs eat that? Jesus says, I've not seen this kind of faith. Not even amongst my own people, Israel. This was radical faith that did not allow racism, did not allow rejection, did not allow anything to stop it from getting what it wanted. And in the 13th verse, he makes a statement. He says, whatever my Father has not planted has to be rooted out. And that brings me to Luke chapter 17. In Luke 17, beginning to read from verse 5. The disciples say to the Lord Jesus, increase our faith. Increase our faith. They thought they needed more faith. And Jesus said, hold it. He says, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, a grain, not a bunch, a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree. Sycamine tree is a sycamore tree or a mulberry tree. You shall say to this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it what? Should obey you. Now that's an interesting word, it should. Because that word should there signifies that there might be a resistance. A resistance of that sycamine tree saying, I don't think you're talking to me. I'm a tree. You don't talk to trees. And you say, I don't care whether you think you can hear me. You can hear me. Because you just said, get out of here. I said, get out. Jesus says in Mark 11, if you have the faith of God or God's kind of faith, you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. And if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. Why do you have to keep on saying? Because the mountain is saying, I don't think you're talking to me. I don't have legs. And God is saying, it doesn't matter whether it feels like or you see that it can or cannot, just because you said the impossible shall be made manifest for you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It does not say, lay hands on your Cadillac and the transmission shall be healed. But if you have faith, you can lay hands on that car and the car will be healed. I know what I'm talking about because I've had a lot of healed cars. Glory be to God. I had no money in my pocket, but I had hands. And I had a mouth to speak. Because everything that is has ears. Oh, I don't know if you heard what I just said. If it has a name, it has ears. For everything that is spirit. Everything that you see came out of God. Hallelujah. And therefore can hear you. Now I will tell you how it is possible for it to hear you, because it will not hear everybody. But it will hear you, and I'll show you how in just a moment. It says, sycamine tree, be thou removed. Be. Go to the sea. Go, go, go. You heard me. Go, 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 go. He said, it should obey you. Wow. Verse 7 says, watch this. He just talked about faith, didn't he? Yeah? So we've not left the subject of faith. It says, but which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by when he's come from the field, go and sit down to meat. You have a servant, and the servant comes back and says, oh, go rest yourself, go rest. He says, no, that's not what you do. He says, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, get ready what I'm going to eat, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. What is the Lord saying? The Lord is talking about faith. The context has to do with faith, and he's associating faith with a servant that must complete its assignment. God is saying, faith is a servant that must complete its assignment. Don't let faith go rest until you are fully satisfied. If you're not satisfied, don't give faith permission to rest. That means if what you are believing God for is not fully accomplished, don't tolerate a half-done job. Because the full job is, I am satisfied. Hold on to it until you get everything milked out of it. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about. He's saying, if you say to the sycamine tree, be cast into the sea, and the sycamine tree moves from one street to the other, and that other street is not a sea, the job is not completed yet. Get, I said, do you understand sea? Sea, let me show you the picture of a sea. Get there now. Well, they said, the cancer is in remission. That's good. But we don't want remission. We want uprooted. Hello? We want what? Uprooted. That means that there is no sign, no smell, no scent that I ever had cancer in my body. So, go, 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 go until they say, we don't know where it went. And I'll say, I know where it went. It went to the sea. Glory be to God. Somebody have the faith of God inside of you. No trace of this diabolical act anywhere around me. It has no right to live. It goes on. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. In other words, I think not. So likewise ye, When ye shall have done all those things which are commanded, you say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. I thought we're talking about faith. Now, why is he saying we have done that which was our duty to do? Because you, the one who is releasing the faith and giving its assignment, you've released it to accomplish the purpose for which it was sent to you in the first place by the Word of God. Now, watch this play out. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, watch this. Luke 7, beginning to read from verse 2. It says, and a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he had built us a synagogue. This is another characteristic of faith that you need to embrace. Faith living is a giving spirit. If you're walking in faith, you have to embrace giving. You'll see it again. I'll show it to you in a moment. It says, this man had built us a synagogue. He's not a Jew, but he had resources. And he used his resources to bless a people that he knew God, had a God. He built a synagogue. And Jesus went with them. When he heard that this man was a giver, Jesus went with them, and he was now not far from the house of the centurion. And the Bible says the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy. The Jewish leader said, he's worthy. He says, I am not worthy that thou should enter under my roof. And this is a statement he makes. Watch this. He says, wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also, watch this, I also am a man set under authority. I'm a man under what? Authority. Having under me soldiers. Watch this. I have soldiers that are underneath me, and I say unto one, go. And he goeth. And to another, come. And he cometh. And to my servant, do this. And he doeth it. Bible says, when Jesus heard these things, this man said, I'm a man under authority. And I say to this, do that, come here, go there. Sit there, and he do exactly what I'm saying. He saw a man that he's going to describe in these particular words. Bible says when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great what? Faith. No, not in Israel. This man's got radical faith. Radical faith because he understands how faith works. He understands that faith is my servant. And I can send it to go do a job. I don't have to go, but my servant can go. Just speak the word only. Matthew, stating this particular account in Matthew chapter 8, the man says, send, just speak the word only. Matthew 8, beginning to read from verse 5. It says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And he says, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shalt come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And hear this statement again. For I am a man under authority, and you are a man under authority. And therefore, you can speak, and your servant is going to obey. Point. Listen up. If you are not under authority, nothing obeys you. Let me say it again. If you are not under authority, nothing obeys you. Because you are just as rebellious as they are. You've got to be under authority. You've got to submit yourself to God. Then you can resist the devil, and he will flee. But if you are not submitting yourself to God, don't expect things to submit themselves to you. Don't expect diabetes or cancer or poverty or shame or whatever to submit itself to you if you are not ready, first and foremost, to submit yourself. If God says submit yourselves one to the other, do that. Because that is the antidote that you need to stomp down anything that will try to resist you, because first and foremost, you are a person who is under authority. You're not under authority? Like the sons of Sceva? Jesus, I know. I know Paul, I know Peter. Who art thou? Who are you? Come in here trying to cast me out. You're trying to cast me out. Okay, let me show you what casting looks like. He beat them all up. And the seven sons of Sceva are running naked down the street in every direction. They were not under authority, and therefore they had no right to even mention the name of Jesus. The word of God says, honor God with your tithes and your offerings, and you're busy arguing with God. And now you want to have authority to cast out devils? Okay, try it. That's how so many people that are supposed to have deliverance ministry are walking around demonized. You look at them and say, this guy, he's crazy. Something's really messed up with this person. But in the name of Jesus, you think it's by carrying the cross? It's like, not that I watched lots of movies, but I remember watching this one. It was one of these Dracula movies. And this guy had a cross. And he's pointing it at this Dracula, and the Dracula comes and says, this cross, give me that cross. Took the cross from the guy, says, you have to have faith for this thing to work. There are people who are carrying 10x4 Bibles, thinking they're going to cast out something. I should have worn a cross today to amplify the point. They carry a cross, and they think, this is it. Try it. And you'll find out that if you are not under authority, you have no authority. You have to be under the authority of the Most High God to be used by God to accomplish divine purpose. Amen? Don't just go about saying, I'm a Christian. You're a Christian. Are you walking in the love of God? God says, forgive. I don't think so. If you only knew what he did, you won't be asking me to forgive. Guess what? The passage I just read to you about the sycamore vine tree had to do with dealing with unforgiveness and forgiving people and forgiving and forgiving and forgiving again. And the disciple says, we need more faith. We need more faith because this kind of, you're asking us to forgive that much? We need more faith. Well, the Bible says faith works by love. If you want your faith to work, first of all, you need to be a person under authority. Secondly, you have to operate by the Spirit of God's love. Without the love of God, your faith is not going to work. And there are so many believers that are frustrated to no end because they're praying, they're fasting, they're crying. Mascara is running down their faces and nothing has changed. And they wonder, is there a God? And so they draw back. Instead of dealing with what is causing your faith not to be activated, they draw back and God says, I will have no pleasure with you. You cannot please me. You're not continuing in faith. You're not standing in the righteousness that I've given to you. You are always there trying to manipulate things in your own ability. Well, it's not going to work. Child of God, where do you stand in your walk of faith? The Bible tells us in Mark 5, I'll come back to the centurion in just a moment as I wrap up, but a different centurion. In Mark 5, starting from about verse 21, he says, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship, onto the other side, he had received directives from the Father about a prophetic declaration that was made thousands and thousands of years prior over a young man called Gad by his father, where the prophetic statement talked about this God being overcome by a legion, but at last he will be free. And the fullness of time came, and Jesus was ministering on one side of the Sea of Galilee, and there was an awakening inside of him to go over to the other side. And he gets into the boat, and he's heading over to the other side, and the devil is saying, no, you're not coming here. We don't know why you're coming over here, but you're not coming here. We're going to stop you. And so they were resisting with this major storm. Jesus rebukes that storm. He crosses over to the other side. And on the other side is this man who was demonized. He'd been demonized for years and was harassing the entire community. He stayed amongst dead people in the cemetery. But something on the inside of him was not only resistant of the chains that he was being put under, because the Bible says he will break those chains. Something on the inside of him was saying to him, yes, you may be living amongst the dead. And he will cut himself. And something on the inside says, dead people don't bleed. But he was still in bondage. And here comes Jesus. And he comes to worship him. Read the text. He comes to worship. And Jesus begins to speak to him. And he says to him, what's your name? The man who had one single spirit, one evil spirit, he had only one, says, my name is Legion. And immediately the text changes because it says, for we are what? Many. Come. He said with his mouth, the one that had just one evil spirit, my name is Legion, for we are many. And the next verse says, watch this. And he besought him much that he will not send them away out of the country. Let's go back and see what I'm talking about. Look at what verse 6, 7, and 8 say. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I, notice I, to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment what? Me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou what? Unclean what? Single. But when Jesus asked him, what is your name? He says, my name is what? Legion, for we are what? Many. And what changes? He besought him much that he will not send them away out of the country, them. Well, I know we're living in a world where people are he, she, them, their, whatever it is. I guess it had something to do with us. Don't send us out. The next verse says this. Now there was there, nigh unto the mount, is a great herd of swine feeding, and all the what? No longer singular. I had not noticed that until the Lord spoke to me many years ago. And he said to me, son, there are things that I did intentionally wrong to teach you what not to do. I said, you did things wrong? He said, yes. I said, give me an example. And he brings me, this was one of the passages he brought me to. He's quoted, how many of you know the Lord knows his scriptures? Yes. He quoted it. I don't know chapter verse. I depend on concordance. Jesus knows his verses. He sends me right here. And he shows me. He said, do you see what I did wrong? I said, no, I don't see what you did wrong. He said, I asked it to speak. And it said, what it was not. And when he said what it was not, he became what it was not. I say, what do you mean? He said there was just one evil spirit. He'd asked me the question. Prior to leading me to this passage of scripture, he said, how many spirits were in the legion? I said, thousands. He said, no, one. I said, no, it can't be one, it's thousands. He said, no, it was one. I said, no, Lord, it was not one, it was thousands. It's got to be thousands. He said, son, it was one. I said, okay, I will show it to you. What is the passage, Lord? He brings me to the passage, and I'm reading it. I'm saying, oh, my. Huh. He said, I permitted it to speak. Come. Don't allow your problem to speak. Please, don't allow your problem to speak. Do not give it a voice. Guess who is going to give it a voice? You, with your own mouth. My cancer, my diabetes, my high blood pressure. Now that you've owned it, you've owned it. You said it. So what, Pastor, please pray for my cancer. What do you want me to bless the cancer so that it increases? What do you want? Why do you embrace lack and poverty and give it a voice? I don't have this. I don't have that. Well, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall what? Lack nothing. So when the concern and the need is there, you say, the Lord is my shepherd. What does that mean? God is going to direct me. He says, acknowledge me in all of your ways, and I will what? Direct your path. Jesus, I have come to meet with you. This did not happen by chance. The Syrophoenician woman is saying, you showed up in my town, in my area, this Gentile area, and then you are telling me you didn't come for the Gentiles. Too late. You are in my territory. Today we shall have what we shall have. Amen. Hallelujah. Since this thought came into my mind that I'm going to be a millionaire, I cannot be a thousandaire. No more. It's finished. Any which way you're going to do it, this must happen. It must happen. I am rich, I am blessed, because God, I had a thought that I was rich. I had a dream today, God, I was driving a brand new Lexus. Oh yeah, praise the Lord. This rust back skirt, you are gone. Whichever way that Lexus is coming, thou comest to me now. It's like that. I had the thought. Since that thought came into me, I embrace it as the goodness of God in my life. And I am sending faith on an errand now. Go find my Lexus for me. Actually, this is the color of it. This kind of interior, this kind of chassis, all of that. Well, I'm not a Lexus guy. You might just have talked yourself out of whatever. It does not matter. Just believe God. God placed it inside of you. Use that faith. Use it. Put it to work. God is going to do a great work in you and through you. Amen? Now, it is in this coast, after he had delivered this man, he crosses over back to where he was. And when he crosses over to the other side, which is the passage of scripture that we started from in Mark 5 and verse 25. This man, of course, the man of Gadara, remember Gad? Gadara, Gadarenes, he's delivered from a curse that had been placed upon him. And that which God had not planted for him was uprooted that day. Amen? Hallelujah. May everything, no matter what it is, that God has not planted in your life be uprooted in Jesus' name. He said, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood, 12 years she'd had this issue of blood, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. He poured all of her investments in to get well, but rather than getting better, she was getting worse. She says she heard about Jesus, and she came in the press behind and touched his garment. He touched his garment. For she said, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, do not doubt, you shall have what you say. She said something before she touched. Let me state that again. She said something before she touched. She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. I'm going to get well today. I'm not going to have to pay any money for this. I'm going to get well today. I'm going to touch his garment. He says, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Watch this. Jesus did miracles based on what he saw the Father doing. Here comes a woman, touches his garment, and she's healed. And the Bible says, and immediately Jesus, knowing in himself that virtue, power, had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Statement. And the Lord Jesus Christ has been making this statement in so many ways, in shock, like somebody who did not know that that kind of faith was going to be activated about the sinner. I've not seen this kind of faith. Woman, great is thy faith. Your faith has made you whole. I'm shocked at how aggressive you use in your faith. I've not seen this kind of faith even amongst my own children. Jesus stops and says, who touched my clothes? And the word that he uses here is a very interesting word. And I looked through all of the Gospels, and they use the exact same word as it relates to the crowd that were pressing on Jesus. They use different words that mean the same thing. But regarding this touching, there is only one word they use. The word is haptomai. Haptomai means that he's not saying who just touched me and left. He says, who touched me and is still holding on to me. In other words, she touched and her faith stayed connected. She did not break off. Other people were thronging him, were pressing against him, and got nothing. 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 They got nothing. But this man comes down and steps away. Jesus turns around and says, who touched me? Jesus, weren't you supposed to know this? Of course he knows. But he's making a statement of fact. The statement of fact is this, that when you set your mind to receive from God, you cannot be denied. Oh, I don't know if you heard. When you hook onto God and say, I'm not letting you go, you cannot be denied. Jacob wrestled with a man that was an angel and says, you're going to bless me today, or you're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere until I get blessed. Do you think the angel couldn't have just left? Of course the angel could have left at any time and proved it when he says, okay, I got to go. I'll bless you, but I got to go. It's, daylight is coming. I got to go. Think. The guy is crippled right there. God, you know, when my kids were growing up, we play fight. Now I'm play fighting with my grandkids. Every time I see them, I'm wrestling with them about something. And I'm falling, and I'm acting like they're beating me up. But with a flick, it's done, it's finished. Hallelujah. But you play fight. God plays fights with you because he wants you to hang in. And when you hang in, the fragrance of his glory comes upon you. And as the fragrance of his glory comes upon you and you're moving, devils, when they smell the scent of God, say, oh, God is here. We will not pray too many prayers when we are fully attached. It is not my long praying that changes things. It is the continuity of the presence of God and his power, the fragrance of his glory that changes things around me, that wards off forces of darkness all around me so that I can operate in the peace of God. This woman helped my held on. Jesus says, wow, woman, your faith has done it. Your faith has served you well. The faith that God has given to us will serve you and I well. What we must not do is undo what we are saying when it is the will of God for our lives. If you and I are going to continue in faith, we've got to stay true to the language of faith. Stay steadfast in faith. So how do I know what the steadfast word of faith should be? Well, the word of God says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. If you have the mind of Christ, and you have a mind, then this can be true, that you know what is good and what is not good. When you go to the store, you know how to pick the right tomatoes. This tomato is nice and firm. It's not going to go bad anytime soon. If you can pick your tomatoes, you can pick what you know is good for you because you've got the mind of Christ. Hello? So if it is not something you can go and testify about that God has blessed you, then it must not be good. Then that must not be your portion. Reject it. Tell God what you want. Jesus said to blind Bartimaeus, what do you want? Everybody was, they were all telling Bartimaeus, shut up. You don't qualify. And blind Bartimaeus kept on crying out the louder, thou Jesus, son of David. mercy on me. Did he get his miracle? He knew what he wanted. What do you want? If Jesus will ask anybody, what do you want? It must mean that he's placing the onus on you to identify what you want. If you don't know what you want, you can say to God, God, put in me the desires that I need for the right results I need. Praise the Lord. But there is a desire. If it's going to honor God, hold on to it and don't let go. Don't let the press, the government, your wife, your husband, your children, your friend, anybody thwart you away from what you are believing. It is not for them to believe, it's for you to believe. I believe God has this for me, therefore, this is what I'm going to have. Well, I don't think you're smart enough to be a lawyer. I didn't ask you. I believe God wants me to be a lawyer. Well, you don't have the right grades for it. Okay, that's what the grades say, but I believe I'm going to be a lawyer. You watch it. One of these days, I will be a lawyer, and I'll be a judge, and I'll be sitting down there, and now we have the gavel. Hallelujah. What do you believe? Well, it's too late for me to be there. Nothing is ever too late. As long as you have breath within you, you can be and receive whatever it is that you want. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't have a degree in business management and whatever. I cannot run a business. I can only run so much. Well, if God says that you are a mogul, a business mogul, well, it's not going to happen because you went to that university over there. It's going to happen because God has blessed you. And those people who went to those and got all those degrees and whatever, they will be working for you. If God said, just hold on to it. There's nothing expensive about that. Just believing that the word of God is forever true for your life. Hold on to it. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me wrap up with this statement. In Acts chapter 10, there's a centurion. He too, the Bible says, was a man of prayer. His name was Cornelius. He ran an Italian band. The Bible says he was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house. And in describing him, says, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He was a Gentile. The word of God continues and says that this man evidently saw in the ninth hour of the day an angel of God coming to him, saying unto him, Cornelius. How many of you are glad God knows your name? Praise the Lord. God called his name Cornelius. It says, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers, watch this, thy what? Prayers and thine what? Alms are come up for a memorial before God. Two things. I hear before God as a memorial your prayers and your giving. And because of your prayers and your giving, I've been dispatched to come speak to you. You're going to have to send somebody out to the house of a tanner in Jaffa or Joppa. You're going to meet a guy there called Peter. He's going to tell you what you're going to do. And so he sends his emissaries ahead of him. While they're going, God dispatches an angel. Peter is very hungry. He wants to eat. But he goes to the high place. And while he's there praying, God opens up his eyes and he sees a vision. And he sees all these birds and all these animals. And God says to him, rise up, kill, and eat. And the man says, no, all these animals, they are unclean animals. I can't just rise and kill and eat because I'm hungry. No. I refuse to do that. But God speaks. And he says, what I have cleansed, thou shalt not call common. I've cleansed them. Don't call it common. Just then, the guys show up at the door and they come in, they talk to Peter. Peter goes with them. The centurion and his entire family are saved. Peter gets into trouble because he crossed the line. And I wrap up with this. Radical faith causes God to do radical things. Let me say that again. Radical faith causes God to do radical things. Let me say it a third time. Radical faith causes God to do radical things. In other words, God will break all the rules. Hallelujah. Because of your radical faith. Demonstrated how? By the Bible says he prayed always. He was in prayer. He was crying out to God. He was giving. He was doing everything, but didn't have the relationship, but it didn't matter. Because the relationship came after his persistence. When you persistently pursue after God, God will come into agreement with you. Because you have exercised your faith to believe that even though you may be unworthy, that he's a God of mercy who can still find a way to make good things happen in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. Disqualify yourself from failing and qualify yourself to succeeding. In Jesus' mighty name. Do you receive that word? Then shout hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Well, child of God, we're going to honor God with our giving today. I know some of you have already released your tithe and your offerings. For those who have not, this is the time to do so. But this happens to be the last Sunday of the month. That means this is that Sunday where we give a second offering to the Lord that's targeted towards missions. And it's especially important today because in about 17 days from now, we're going to be having a mass crusade in the land of Pakistan. I talked with them today, and they said to me, all is set. We are ready. Everything is set for this mass crusade. This mass crusade is going to have anywhere from 15,000 to 30,000 people in attendance. And the Most of the cost for this crusade is being carried by this particular ministry in Pakistan. And the reason they're doing it is because for the last 2 years or so, we've been having monthly crusades in remote areas of Pakistan. Actually, tomorrow we're going to be having another one, a crusade in another community in a remote area where there are no churches, nobody is there that have preached the gospel to them. In some of the cases, they've never heard the gospel, and they're hearing the gospel for the first time, and they are coming to salvation, they're coming to Christ, they're getting healed, they're getting delivered. And this particular ministry have seen, because they've been assisting us, taking a projector and a sheet, and they put it against the wall, point their projector, and then link us by Zoom, and from here, I preach the word of God, and God has been doing great things. Now, they'd seen all of that and said, no, we need to invest because we're getting great results through this ministry. God is using this ministry to accomplish so much. So they are investing about $38,000 to bus people to the grounds, to have a big LED screen, sound system to service those amount of people. And all we're going to be doing is providing Bibles. Bibles cost about $6 US per Bible. And we want to at least purchase at least 1,000. So I'm saying about $10,000 is what we need to raise between now and next week. And send it so that they can physically have the Bibles ready to give to those that are going to be saved, those families that are going to be transformed. And I thank God for those of you that have given certain amounts. Last Sunday, I think we had about $2,500 today I want to encourage us to move the ball to that amount. Let's get at least 10,000. That means there are going to be some people that are going to give larger amounts, $1,000 and $500. Some may give $250. You know, I'm giving, our family's giving. Let's sow for the nation of Pakistan. This is the second largest Islamic nation in the world. And we are reaching it. First time, you know, over and over, when the church is responding, sending testimonies, says, you are establishing church history. This is part of the history of the church. Hallelujah. That the word is reaching out. And this is how many people got saved. This is how many people got healed, blind, deaf, crippled. This is what's happening. So we are expecting God to do some amazing things during this crusade. And I need for you to stand in faith with me to accomplish this particular purpose. We have our own needs here in this house. You know, we're running at maybe about, I'll say 40, 50% of what we should be having every week. So we have needs here. Don't talk about doing that. But how many of you know God knows about everything? And we need to sow seeds. God's heartbeat is souls. And we need to see souls come to salvation. So I want to encourage you today to faithfully give. Some of you may not have that particular amount. So write it on an envelope if you don't have it. What it is that you believe in God to give to you to bring towards this, so that we know exactly how much we're going to be getting. And just come give me that envelope, even if you don't have anything on it. But by next week, let's have those amounts. If you are able to do it right away, perfect. Just bring it, drop it in the offering baskets, and I will be notified about the total at the end of today on what has come in already towards that end. And I'll let you know, I'll update you about it in the next services. Okay? Come, let us honor God with that. And while you're doing that, I like to say that if you don't have your communion yet, please raise your hand and the ushers will make sure that you're served. Anybody needs communion elements? Thank you. Bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Something here? Okay. Okay, while we're coming and honoring God with our giving, let me have Mama come and we'll share in communion together. And right after the communion, if you don't mind, just for an extra 2 or 3 minutes, the announcements are going to be shared. Those of you that are on Zoom, we greet you in the name of the Lord. We appreciate you coming and participating, even though you are on the Zoom link. May God bless you richly. Those of you on YouTube and Facebook Live and Reddit and other platforms, we bless you also. God bless you. Before we share in communion, I want to welcome a very dear family that's here with us. The Odaibo family, bless you. They are part of this church family. Amen. Hallelujah. Ariana, oh, what a miracle. Talking about Speedify. That's a walk in speedification.
Glory to God.
The miracle of God. I will let them share their own testimony. I'm not going to rob her of that. Amen. At the fullness of time, she will come and share what God has done in her life. Praise the Lord. God is good. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
All right, let's rise. We thank you, Lord, for this body. As we take of it, we receive our healing. We receive, oh God, all that we need to live a practicalized life of radical faith. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing. We join in oneness with you and we receive the full impartation that you desired and ordained for your people to receive at this table of communion. We receive it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Take and eat.
It's a cup of blessing. For Jesus went on the cross, he broke bread. He shared it with his disciples, said it's his body. He took a cup of wine and said, this is his blood. So when we do the same, we call it the same. The blood of Jesus.
Yes.
The blood that the enemy can never penetrate.
Hallelujah.
The blood that will cause death not to swallow you.
Hallelujah.
Sickness and disease cannot dwell in your body.
Amen.
The grave could not hold him. Nothing can hold you.
Yes.
By his blood, I've been set free.
Hallelujah.
Take of this powerful cup of blessing. Be healed. Be restored. Be made whole. May everything that belongs to you come to you and your family. Take and drink.
Amen. Praise the Lord. May the blessings of God pursue after you and overtake you. May his peace garrison your heart. May you know true prosperity and good success. all of your days, you and your children. And may God bless his church and cause it to be great for his glory and honor. And all of God's people together in agreement said,
yes.
Yes. And they said, amen. Yes. They said, yes.
Yes.
They said, yes.
Yes.
They said,
yes.
Yes. They said, yes.
Yes.
They said, yes.
Yes.
And amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Please, this is one of those announcements. Don't miss tonight's service. Oh, Brother Josiah.
Hello, Brother Bill, Sister Carol.